there and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And Dori's back from maternity leave.
Back. I'm still not an expert.
We're never going to be.
No.
But we're two friends who still like to talk about serums.
We do. Hello.
I've been waiting for this day.
I mean, I missed you a lot.
Dori, I missed you.
And I'm also so, I just want to get this out of the way and say how grateful I am for you.
Come on.
You gave me a gift, which was 6 weeks of maternity leave.
I mean, truly not enough if we were really living the dream here. You know, it would be a year.
If we were working 50-hour weeks in an office, fair. I would say I need more time. But you know, I get to gab with you.
We did also, when we were talking about you taking a maternity leave, it was open-ended in the way of like,
yes,
hey, you could come back on week one, or if you want to come back on week eight, you know, you
and
are calling
fact,
the shots.
I did say, like, I was going to come back a little earlier and then had a panic attack and was like, I need a couple more weeks. And you were like, no problem. Oh. So thank you.
It has been a privilege. It has been a privilege. I was going to say an honor, but then I switched it to privilege. It actually has because I've been through maternity leave twice.
Mm.
And it's important to me that parents get the leaves that they need, paid leaves that they need when they start a family, whether that be by having childbirth or with adoption or foster care, whatever. I'm going to just climb onto my soapbox story.
I love this soapbox.
So it was truly like a thrill for me to get to support you.
Thank you.
And it was, and you know, I was good. I will say, literally every day I was like, God, I wish I could text Dori about this. Really wish I could bug Dori with this question or complaint or panic attack.
It's nice to be missed.
Oh boy. I had to really work on myself and learning how to deal with things alone.
You had to stretch some new muscles.
I honestly really did. So I will say, I do feel like I learned a lot having to kind of run things alone. And there was one moment where there was some decision I had to make. And I asked Lane, who's our assistant. I was like, what do you think? Blah, blah, blah. And she was like, that's really up to you. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, yeah, ugly.
You're the boss.
I don't like this. It feels weird. Like, I like having, it did also make me realize how much I enjoy collaborating.
Yeah.
I work best when, or in this situation, at least, when there's another person to kind of like bounce ideas off of.
And, yeah, totally.
But forcing myself to have to make a lot of tough decisions, because I do think I rely on you to do like the harder, scary things,
because
you're like a tough B word. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, thanks.
You know, you're not afraid, whereas I'm like cowering in the corner.
Yeah, but I feel like you've come out of your shell.
Have
in that regard.
I've made this all about me somehow, and you're the one who just had a child.
Yeah, but you've also been running the show for 6 weeks on your own.
Here I am. I'm so glad to be back, though, with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, truly. Also, not seeing you like 50 times a week is so weird.
Yeah.
It was really weird. I was like, I'm so used to it. I see Dori more than my husband sometimes.
I mean, same.
So, and your dog.
Yeah, I'm you miss my dog.
I did miss your dog.
He missed you. When you came in the house, he was like, oh, it's my friend Kate.
We had a tender moment.
You did.
So I'm very, very happy to be back recording this podcast with you. You were very missed.
Oh, thank you.
But you were doing something important.
I was.
I mean, I would say on the scale of things, it's pretty high up there.
It was pretty high up there, yeah.
You had a freaking baby.
I did. There was a human inside of me. And now it's outside of me.
Now he lives in the world.
Now he lives in the world. He poops a lot. He eats. He cries.
That sounds about accurate for a six-week-old baby.
Yeah. People keep being like, what's he like? And I'm like,
He loves Shakespeare.
Yeah, like,
it's really political.
He doesn't have a personality,
not
really,
yet. No.
Like, he's a baby. Yeah, I mean, I won't go into my whole birth story. You can listen to my birth story on Excellent Adventure.
Oh, and I have.
It was the episode that came out on like April 29th or 30th, where I go into the play-by-play, but I'll give the abridged version here, which is that going into it, I was like, I don't really have like a birth plan per se, I just really don't want to have a long induction followed by an unplanned C-section. That just sounds really hard and not what I want. And, you know, that was what I ended up with.
I'm laughing because... Oh, my God. I will say, frickin' childbirth is a real journey in, like, letting go of control completely.
Yeah, and totally.
It is bonkers.
And the reason I had to be induced is because my amniotic fluid was low. I went in to see my doctor on my due date. Everything looked great, except my fluid was very low. And she was like, we have to induce you tonight. So I went in. I was induced for 40 hours. I will say that my doctor, the whole team at Cedars-Sinai, they did really try to, like, make this vaginal birth happen for me. And it just was not happening.
Yeah.
He didn't want to come out.
He was snuggly.
He was cozy in there. I don't blame him. And so I had a C-section. And, you know, I also always said, like, I just really want a healthy, I hope I have a healthy baby. And he, you know, he's healthy. He came out fine. I didn't have any, like, weird complications from the C-section beyond just, like, having a C-section,
yeah,
which is major abdominal surgery. So I'm, you know, I'm grateful for that for sure. But, you know, recovery has been slow.
I feel like I also had a C-section, as listeners may recall, with my first child. And because the C-section rate is so high, I feel like it's treated as like getting, like, stitch, like, not as
totally
a, not
well as... And because you can schedule one,
right?
People assume that it's like just dropping in from a C-section.
It is major surgery.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, those first few days in the hospital, like, I could barely get out of bed. It was like hard to pee.
Oh, yep.
It just, like, everything, you know, I had to sleep sort of at an angle, upright at an angle, because, like, lying down, I couldn't get up if I was lying down. It hurt. You know, everything was just like, ugh. And then, you know, when I came home, even that first week especially was tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm 6 weeks out now. I feel mostly okay. I had my 6 week appointment with my OB on Monday, and she, like, cleared me for most things. I did say, should I walk my 80-pound dog? And she's like, maybe hold off for another couple weeks. She's like, 80 pounds is big. And I was like, mm-hmm.
Yep, that's big.
Yeah.
He tugs on that leash.
Yeah. And, you know, he has pulled me down before.
Yeah.
Which, in, you know, I'm mostly healed now, but I wouldn't want to risk that. So yeah, so that was what happened. And having a newborn is hard. It's really hard. You just have to go with it.
Did you have a moment, I'm only speaking from my own experience, but at about like 2 or 3 weeks where I was like, oh God, this person's here. This thing's here forever now. Like, did you have that where it's like, it's all obviously very exciting and you're... And like, you're grateful and you're in love with the child, but there, it's such a drastic change to your life that for me, it was just like, oh, wow, like this is it now.
I think for me, the thing that's been a little hard for me to wrap my head around is like, I love him. I feel bonded with him, but that didn't come like right away.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Like, I was really happy to have him and I cared for him like right away, but it was sort of like, what is this thing?
Yeah.
You know, and I need to keep it alive. And, but I don't like, I didn't like feel attached to him quite yet. And then a few days ago, I was out of the house.
By yourself or with?
By myself.
Henry.
Don't remember where I was, but I was like, oh, I miss Henry.
Oh,
I want to go home and see Henry. And so that was like the first moment where I was like, oh, now he sort of like exists for me as a person, not just as like this thing I need to keep alive.
Yeah, this baby that you're...
Yeah. And, you know, they say, like... No, like, there are people who are like, I was in love with my baby the moment I saw him. And, like, I don't know if it was because my birth was pretty traumatic and, you know, I was really out of it. I'm sure that that had something to do with it.
Yeah.
But I definitely didn't feel like, I'm so in love, like, right away.
Well, I struggle with the expectation that that is how people are supposed to behave, yes, when they have a new baby, and that if you don't, there's something wrong with you, or you're, mm-hmm, not appreciating it or whatnot. Like, yeah, it is, you might not look at your child and be like, I'm in love with you. It's
right.
Weird.
Yeah.
Or we obviously, like, I don't think this is something that you're experiencing, but you can be dealing with postpartum depression or anxiety,
totally,
and that can throw everything for a loop.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you saying that.
Thanks, Kate. I will say one thing that I think has really kept me sane these last few weeks is the fact that my husband has been home. And that is a luxury and a privilege that I'm really grateful for, and something that I didn't think would be the case. I thought he was going to have to go back to work right after Memorial Day.
That's right. So pretty soon after.
Which, you know, still would have given us like 4 solid weeks, which is, again, more than I know a lot of people have. But his job is changing. He's still on the same show, but his job at the show is changing. And he doesn't have to go back to work till August.
That's amazing.
And so just having him here has been so good. I don't know how I would have functioned without him. I'm sure I would have figured it out, but it's just been so much better, I think, having him here. So, you know, if you have a partner who is able to take leave, make them take that leave.
Yes. And let's climb back onto the soapbox and say that family leave for both partners is incredibly important.
Yeah.
More leave, paid,
yeah,
leave.
More paid leave. I mean, Matt's leave was not paid, but he had it. So that has been really, really good. And it's like also nice to see him, you know, enjoying being a dad. I think he's been really grateful,
yeah,
to have this time.
That's really special that you're both getting this time to just be,
yeah,
parents together.
Yeah, totally. You know, trying to get some sleep and breastfeeding. I mean, like, I could go on. It's just, you know, I don't, as we've discussed, this is not a motherhood podcast.
It is not. It's not a parenting podcast.
It's not a parenting podcast, but this is what has been going on in my life. I mean, definitely the last 6 weeks. So
yeah,
just want to fill everyone in.
Let it be known that Dory's scan, her post childbirth scan, which, as we all know, is the most important thing.
Totally.
Right? Not the child, not her. It's her skin.
Yeah.
Her face is literally glowing. I've commented
thanks,
on
Kate,
this in like numerous photos. And I feel like the first time I saw you after you had Henry, I was like, whoa, your skin is bonkers.
Well, thank you. As I mentioned to you before we started recording, I'd had really good skin throughout my pregnancy. I think whatever combination of hormones is happening during pregnancy was good for my skin. And then, like a week or so ago, I started getting these, like, or probably like 2 weeks ago, I started getting like these little pimples on my cheeks, and there were like a couple on my chin. I was like, what is happening here? And then I remembered in the Facebook group, people had talked about a reaction to vitamin C serums, that some people had a reaction, some people didn't. And I'd been using a vitamin C serum, and the description of what had happened to people was the same. It was like these little pimples, not deep ones, but tiny ones, but a lot, like quite a few of them. And I was like, let me just cut out this vitamin C serum and see what happens. And it's almost all cleared up.
Was it an instantaneous change?
Within a couple of days.
Wow.
I wasn't getting new ones. And now I think they're pretty much all gone. So It's just wacky that, like, you know, your hormones change so much that, you know, now I have a reaction to something that I didn't have a reaction to before.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, you look great.
Well, thanks.
Again, the most important thing.
Thanks.
Just kidding. I'm kidding, everybody.
You know, it's funny. I've actually been thinking about this because I've pretty much only been wearing leggings and dresses. And I'm not like worried about like getting back to my pre-pregnancy weight, but I will say I went to put on a pair of jeans and I couldn't button them. And that's the only annoying thing to me is like, wait, I don't want to have to buy all new clothes.
Welcome, Dory.
So I'm sort of like, do I try to like lose weight or do I just accept that this is my body now and buy new clothes?
I mean, old body positive working on it over here. Kate Spencer has thoughts.
Yeah. What does Kate Spencer think?
Well, I can tell you I went through this with, look, my issues with the idea of like post baby body and baby weight and losing weight. I mean, that could cover 50 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, I think I look fine. It's not about how I look.
It's fitting
into my fucking jeans. I'm like, the thought of just like shopping for all new pants is like.
I would suggest buying clothes that fit you and setting a budget for how much you want to spend. Mm. Because I know for me, it felt, this was after I had my second daughter. I had gained weight having a baby and it didn't come off. And I was just like wearing all my maternity clothes and it just felt, it didn't put me in a good mindset.
Yeah.
But then also the feeling of like, I'm not fitting into my old clothes.
Yeah.
Which also is just kind of like the old me is gone. I mean, it triggers a bunch of psychological feelings, but I went to, I set up kind of a general, I didn't want to spend a ton of money.
Totally.
But I bought like jeans that fit and shirts that fit and it felt so good.
Mm.
So I would give yourself a little bit of time just to see kind of how your body regulates itself. And then I would say like, think about like five items that would really make you feel like jeans. Also, we're about to get into summer. So maybe.
True.
If you don't need jeans right away.
Okay.
But I think it can be nice to buy yourself clothes, whether you wear them for the next 10 years or just the next 10 months that fit you well, that make you feel good. And
Kate,
yes,
this is such good advice.
This is why we do this podcast.
I am so glad we do this podcast. I would be out here lamenting the fact that I can't fit into my jeans. And here you are with a solution.
I really do think it makes you feel better. And also just that added feeling of like, oh, I don't fit into my pants. Like that can trigger a lot of emotional feelings.
And like, I have nothing to wear because I don't fit into half my clothes.
Yes, I think. If you don't want to spend money, I'm sure there is. I'm in like a buy swap, not buy swap. I'm in a like no money exchanged swap group now on Facebook for my neighborhood.
Oh yeah, I tried to join one of those and they didn't have one for my neighborhood.
Yes, but maybe there are ways to go about getting new clothes that don't cost a ton of money. I mean, even going to one of the really great secondhand stores here in
good idea.
Los Angeles.
I'm going to put that on my agenda.
Yeah, get on that in between taking care of your new child.
Yeah, totally.
Get those jeans. Should we take a quick
pause? Let's take a quick break. BRB, everyone.
BRB. You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I've drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
So enough about me.
No, more about you.
Let's talk about you.
Oh, there's so much to say. There's really not.
How have you been?
Really,
how have you been?
Okay, honestly?
Yes, honestly.
I'll be very honest. I have been really struggling with my continued quest to let go of my body image issues. Yesterday, I was like not in a good spot. And I texted, I've been talking to my husband about it more, which has been interesting.
Okay.
I kind of had always kept this stuff bottled up.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, are you experiencing this more or just talking about it more? And I was like, I think I'm just talking about it with you more, which is good.
Yeah. How has he been reacting to it?
He's empathetic.
Good.
But he also is the kind of person who's like, let's solve this. Yeah. Like, here's some answers to solve things. Yeah, and I'm no, this is an ongoing this is just where I'm at. And one thing I actually kind of thought about yesterday was, you know, I had always used weighing myself on the scale as a way to then decide how I was going, either if I was either going to like myself or not like myself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if I was at a certain weight, I felt great that day. Mm-hmm. And if I was higher than a certain weight, I was angry at myself and hated myself and just dealing with a lot of self-loathing. And I have taken the scale away. I don't weigh myself anymore. And I don't weigh myself at home. I don't weigh myself at the doctor. I have it in my medical file that I don't get weighed in unless it's like relevant to what I'm there for. So I now don't know how to feel about the scale was dictating.
That is so interesting.
I really had a breakthrough about this. I'm like, can't wait to get back to therapy where I can share with my therapist. But it was like, oh yeah, I really used my weight to determine how I felt for the day.
Yeah.
How I was feeling. Like, that influenced my thoughts. So now I'm having to like myself, not based on my weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I am finding that really hard. And I'm still... it's also very scary to be out in the world not knowing my weight, it's playing a lot of mind games on me. I don't want to say that it's fucked up, but it feels very fucked up. I just feel like I was in kind of like when I first started quote doing this work, which is a phrase I hate, but here we are. When I first started really thinking about this, I think I was in this kind of like high of like, I'm doing it. I feel great. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck diet culture and look at me. And now I'm in, and now it's getting really hard. And I'm, and there's such a part of me that's like wants to go back to restrictive eating patterns. Mm-hmm. Like, that'll solve how bad I feel about mm-hmm. myself. And I know it won't, but I am just, I'm kind of just in this big mind space. And I think it's probably a good space to be in, but it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
So that's where I am genuinely at. Like, in addition to just like, I'm got this going on and got this going on. It's, this is where I spend a lot of my energy thinking about this mm-hmm. stuff and, you know, wondering why I'm spending a lot of energy, like hating myself. I don't even know if hating myself is the right term, but just being like, ugh.
It's just, you do end up expending so much mental energy on it.
Yes. And I, there was some like meme I saw recently that was like, we weren't put on this earth to just like look good in clothes. I forget exactly, like lose weight and do something. It was some, you know, cool quote unquote feminist meme. And I was like, yes, you're right. Like, I'm not, I have so much more to offer than just to spend mm-hmm. all my energy, like worrying about whether or not I weigh above or below a certain amount of a number on a scale. But that's just, I've conditioned myself for years to find value in that. And so I am. It's just a weird place to be in.
How often do you see your nutritionist?
I have been going once a week.
Okay.
And that's been very helpful. And, you know, like, for example, my cholesterol is a little high.
Okay.
But because I was so ingrained in this belief that grains were bad, like, it was very hard for me to, like, eat oatmeal, which is helpful for cholesterol.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but I have been experimenting. Like, she had me do a week where I ate carbohydrates at least 2 out of 3 meals, which, like, boy, would I never let myself do before. So it's been fun experimenting with all that stuff, but it has also been hard.
Mm-hmm.
I did, Dory, I have gotten into meal planning though.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, like, and it has taken me a long, there were some weeks also, like, towards the end of the school year where I, like, I say I'm eating chips over the kitchen sink sometimes in that HelloFresh ad that we just did. And I am. But mm-hmm. I did make a meal planning binder.
Oh, wow.
Where, even though this is bad for the earth, I am printing out the recipes that I make. Like, something about making it very tangible has mm-hmm. been very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
I print out my meal plan. I print out all the recipes I'm making. And I put them into little plastic sleeves. And then I have it all separated week to week.
I love that.
It's been very,
you know,
weird.
I have a binder of printed out recipes.
Go on.
It's, I mean, at this point, it's like 10 years old. I used to like print out all my favorite recipes and keep and put them in plastic sheets and keep them in a binder.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you have this too.
I do. Not for meal planning.
Right, but you have it for your
face. I like the idea of using it for meal planning.
It's very helpful. There's just something like kind of grounding about, like, here's what it is. I have all the recipes right in the kitchen. So I'm not like opening my computer on the stove and like spilling oil on it. And, you know, I'm exploring, another thing I'm exploring when it comes to food is tapping back into my vegetarianism.
Mm-hmm.
I was a vegetarian for almost 10 years
mm-hmm.
in my 20s. And then I started eating meat when I got pregnant with my first child, and I have not looked back. But exploring all this food stuff has made me kind of revisit what I really liked about vegetarianism.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, like, the ethical aspect of it, the mm-hmm. environmental aspect, the humane aspect. The way it made me feel. I also like, meat also does help my body feel good. So I don't think I'm eliminating meat, but I've just like, I'll just play around with more vegetarian mm-hmm. meals. I talked to my kids about it
mm-hmm.
and they were like, we don't want to hurt animals, but we love eating meat. I was like, oh shoot. Okay. Oh boy. But they were really open. I was like, maybe we could try some substitutes for the things you like. And we like had a whole chat about it.
That's amazing.
It was very like one of those moments where I'm like, parenting, I'm doing great at this.
Yeah, you are.
And then they, you know, like both had meltdowns a day later. Mm. So, you know.
Well, it's funny because I had also independently come to this conclusion that I am considering becoming a vegetarian.
Have you ever been one before?
I have not eaten red meat. I didn't eat red meat or pork for like years, but I've never been a full on vegetarian.
Can I clarify one thing?
Yeah.
I was never a full vegetarian. I was a pescatarian.
Okay.
My friends who are vegetarians have told me, like, you got to clarify. So I ate fish.
Okay.
Sorry. Just wanted to throw all that back out there to make sure I'm being transparent.
Thank you.
So you've been thinking, what has led you down this path?
The humane, ethical aspects of it. And also just like feeling sad for the animals.
Yeah.
Like it's really basic. But I think, you know, I think actually like giving birth, and this sounds so cheesy,
no,
but
it's
like
okay.
Giving birth has made me like sad. I'm going to cry. Like has made me like sad for like cows.
Oh, Tori.
And pigs.
Yeah.
You know?
And how they're treated. And also.
Yeah. I'm just like. I'm like, it's okay literally to cry.
Get in there.
Like thinking about little piglets.
Yeah. Yeah. Dory is for real crying.
I'm like for real crying. All these hormones.
They're just churning and making, but it does make you think about things differently. Oh, yeah. Now I might start to cry. God. Did you see my eyes start to well up? I just looked at you and I was like, oh, no, it's happening.
Like, I don't know. I've just been having all these like very emo feelings about like, we're all animals.
Yeah.
And like,
has it made you rethink also like purchasing leather? I mean, because this can go, you know,
we can go
deep into it.
Yeah.
Because obviously also nobody is perfect at this.
I'm starting with food.
Yeah. Great.
So I just been like thinking about this a lot, and even towards the end of my pregnancy, like meat just wasn't as appealing to me. Like I was still eating it, but I was feeling like uncomfortable. And then the thing that I think finally like put me over the top, I went out to dinner the other night, like one of my first forays into leaving the house by myself for a friend's birthday. And we went to, like a crab, the boiling crab, where they like pour, seafood onto your table.
Yeah.
It's like a, you know, crab boil. And I was like, oh God, I don't think I can do this.
Wow.
It just like overwhelmed me. And I came home and I was like, the next day I said to Matt, like, I've been thinking about vegetarianism. And he was like, okay, that's cool. He's like, but I'm still going to eat meat. I was like, this was not a proclamation that our family is vegetarian. Like, do you? And like, I don't care if he cooks meat at home or whatever, but I was just like, I think I'm gonna try to do this.
I'm chuckling to myself because I feel like right before you had Henry, I was over here and you guys had been to Costco and Matt had bought a brisket.
Yes.
At Costco, and it was literally like the biggest piece of meat I'd ever seen. I opened your refrigerator to get like a water.
Yeah.
And there was
that brisket.
It was so big.
I know.
Well, my husband is also a meat eater, and we were together the whole time I was vegetarian, or excuse me, pescatarian. And it actually was easier than I thought. He was very supportive, and you know, I wasn't, I was okay like having the same cooking utensils and stuff like that, or like if meat was cooked on a frying pan, it was okay. But he would also eat more vegetarian. And actually, I brought it up with my husband, and he was like, I've also been thinking about that.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what?
Oh, that's interesting.
From North Carolina, barbecue lover? So, it's weird that it's resurfacing for us. Isn't that interesting, Dory?
It is interesting.
So when you were at the Boiling Crab, what did you just choose to not eat the seafood in front of you?
So I had some crab fries. I think it was seeing their, like, I don't want to get too graphic, but just like seeing their bodies.
Yes. Eating shellfish is very visceral.
That I was like, I had a couple pieces of it. Like I couldn't really like take them apart. It was like too much.
Yeah.
But you know, I'd been having issues eating shrimp for a while. For this reason, like it weirdly started with shrimp.
It's nothing is weird.
I don't know why. So I don't know. So I bought some Beyond Meat yesterday.
Me too. You had the sausages?
Look at us. No, I bought the quote unquote beef crumbles.
Okay.
And I bought some beef patties.
I think consciously making the choice to consume less and eat less meat, and also like not participate in the terrible treatment of animals, is something I strive for.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are many things I can do to be better about it.
Yeah. I mean, none of us is perfect. And we all have inconsistencies. Like,
yes.
You know, so I just think you have to kind of have your own code of ethics and do what feels right to you. And I'm not here to tell anyone that they should stop eating meat either. Like,
nope.
This is a personal decision. It's a decision that I'm making, but no one else has to make it.
Vegetarian Dory. Do you think you'll eat fish? I think you're done with every... Well, no. That, the fish were the thing... The sea creatures were the big thing that drove you away.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, like I said to my husband, like, I want to try this.
Yeah.
I can't promise that this is going to be, like, the thing that sticks. And, you know, I could also see myself being someone who doesn't buy meat or cook meat, but like occasionally has meat like at a restaurant or something, you know, I don't know how it's going to all play out. And I don't want to like promise that it's going to play out a certain way.
Right. Next week you could be like, well, back to meat.
Yeah.
This is what's better for
but
me.
But this has been something that's been like in my mind for a while. And so I'm going to at least kind of give it a shot.
I do think being open to yourself having different moments and not just saying like this is what I am now is very a really positive way to handle yourself but also other people.
And also like I've the last few months have been a period of enormous transition and change and now I'm like throwing another thing on the pile, and so you know it might just be kind of a symptom of like what I've been going through, and maybe it'll stick and maybe it won't.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of like where I'm at right now.
I think that's really cool. I think it's interesting that we both have been thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think so much of the choices you make are affected by your life experiences.
Totally.
You know, you have a new perspective on things. I think that's really cool.
It's just funny. It's funny to me that like, this is what my new perspective has like manifested itself in.
Motherhood has. Well, it's made you more connected to other, to parent, to, you know, to the other species
right.
of the
it
world.
It hasn't made me more connected to human parents, but other species.
Oh, yeah, Dory. Humans can be very annoying.
Don't I know it?
I mean, right?
Well, let's take a short break.
Okay. It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home.
It
I have some
beautiful.
Gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. So I have a question for you.
Yes.
What does self-care look like to you in these early weeks of parenting?
I mean, I feel like the early weeks of parenting are mostly about survival.
Yeah.
Like you're really just kind of powering through. But I've been reading a lot. Like when I'm pumping or nursing, I've actually been reading using the Kindle app on my iPad.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I had formerly been using my Kindle, and then I actually like the reading experience of the Kindle app, and I use the black background so I don't get like the thing where you get the light from the phone
or
the
iPad. You up.
And, yeah, yeah, exactly. And I've just been like getting so many books from the library using that old Libby app.
I love the Libby app.
So I guess that's a form of self-care for sure.
Totally.
I have been rewatching The OC, as I mentioned in the Forever 35 newsletter.
And the answer is yes. I would love to make an OC podcast.
Great.
With you.
I mean, it's four seasons of like 24 episodes a season.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, we should really think about if we want to commit to that.
Yeah. That might be a little much.
But it's such a time capsule.
Of like the mid early aughts,
yes.
Basically.
So many pairs of low rise jeans.
I know, is everyone in like handkerchief shaped tank tops and tube tops?
Basically.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like the makeup. I mean, it's just like it's really, and the haircuts.
Has it been soothing though? Like there's something
yes,
about revisiting a show that's just like, this is easy. Feels good.
It's easy. It's, yeah, it definitely feels good.
As opposed to watching like Chernobyl.
I'm not watching Chernobyl.
I'm also not watching Chernobyl. I made the decision that would be too much for me.
Yeah. So that's a lot. I'm still watching Billions.
Well, I was worried. I hadn't seen you in a few weeks and I was like, could Dory still be watching Billions?
Dory is still watching Billions. And
you're maybe the number one Billions fan.
You know, there's a few of us. There's a lot of
yeah,
us.
People watch Billions.
But I have a few close friends and my whole family also watches Billions.
I should try it. I haven't, never even seen it. I don't even know what it's about.
It's a journey.
Okay.
It's about, well, the first season is about a guy who runs a hedge fund, Bobby Axelrod.
That's his name?
Mm-hmm. He's Damian Lewis plays
hunky,
him.
Hunky.
And they call him Axe. And then his nemesis is the U.S. attorney for the Southern District.
Ooh, okay. I like where
Chuck
this is going.
Chuck Rhodes.
And that's
Paul Giamatti.
An amazing actor.
Paul Giamatti is married to Wendy Rhodes, played by Maggie Siff.
I don't know her.
Did you watch Mad Men?
No. Nope, I didn't.
She's amazing. She's a really, really good actress. She works for Axe.
Oh my gosh.
Like it's super contrived, but like once you kind of get past that,
it's all great.
It's all great. And Chuck is obsessed with bringing down Axe for like being shady businessman.
It's kind of like Kellyanne Conway and George Conway.
Totes.
Kind of. I mean,
no, it like actually is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really enjoy it. So yeah, you should start watching it.
Okay, I might. I
mean, it's very New York show. There's a lot of like New York Easter eggs in it.
I like that. I've been working on this first draft of this book I'm trying to write,
yeah.
And it takes place in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because I don't know the city. Like I'm Google mapping things on the city because I don't know it. So I would like some little. I like the idea of throwing Easter eggs into books for people who are from a certain place. That
totally.
Always like satisfies me in Boston movies.
Totally. But. Other than that, I have to admit, I have not been doing a ton of self-care. I just took Henry to my old prenatal yoga class because you can bring babies up to 6 months or until crawling to the class. And people often do, like people who have graduated.
Right.
And so I just took him there yesterday because I was just like cleared to do yoga.
Oh, good.
And that was really nice. And the teacher was like so excited to meet him. And he was great during the class. And then started hysterically crying like as soon as it ended.
He's like, more yoga. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to try to do some of that. Now that I can like do yoga, I feel like I can kind of start feeling a little bit more like myself.
Were you cleared to do Broadway dance?
I've been cleared to do anything.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Here's the problem with Broadway dance. Excuse me. They are no longer offering it.
Oh, that's right.
At the old studio.
You texted me this.
I was very upset about this.
No, when a thing like an exercise class that you love or any class that you love changes.
Yes.
It's devastating.
Now, it is still being offered twice a week at a dance place near me, actually closer to me than the old place. However, the class is at 8:30 p.m.
Whoa. Ooh, that's late.
That's too late for me.
That is late.
Like, I'm beat by then.
Yeah.
I'm on the couch watching The OC with a bowl of ice cream.
That sounds like a great place to be.
I've been having a bowl of ice cream every night with like whipped cream and strawberries. Like I'm really like, that is self-care.
That is self-care.
Yeah. My nightly ice cream ritual. But yeah, so Broadway, I don't know what to do. Broadway dance is just, it's not accessible to me right now.
Oh shoot, that stinks.
I mean, I have the DVD, so I could do it at home.
Something about moving with a group is very
inspiring. Exactly. I love the energy of the class, but I don't think I can do an 8:30 p.m. class because by the time it ends, by the time I get home, it's going to be 10:30. I got to pump. I mean, you know, my boobs feel like they weigh 15 pounds each.
they might. They're full of milk.
Yeah.
I used to take a dance class at 8:30 at night. Oof. That ended around 10, and then I would be like wired.
Yeah, then you have all this adrenaline. Yes. From doing a dance class.
Yeah, and I was just like up and like ready to conquer the world.
Yeah.
And it was just too much.
It's too much. So, look, I don't know when I'm going to be able to go back to Broadway dance class. I'm sad about it. I might have to find another dance class. So, are you still going to that dance class?
I was. So, listeners, I have a sore throat, and that makes me, that turns me into a real baby. I was going to go this week, actually. Mm-hmm. I was going to go on later this week, but I'm not. But because I've been away, I've been traveling a bunch. I'm very excited to be back home and to start getting into these routines again. So I would like to try to, I was thinking, Dory, I was like, let's think about exercise. Like what is it, what classes or what exercise do I need to do that gives me like spiritual or emotional, growth?
Ooh.
Not looking at exercises like this is going to get me physically buff,
yes.
But what's going to get me mentally buff?
Yes.
And
you are speaking my language.
Well, here I am. And I was thinking for me, that is a dance class and yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I really love, I have been doing a little bit of yoga at night and it makes my back, I have a lot of back pain at home. Mm-hmm. So look, I bought a Peloton bike and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very hesitant to do it and to talk about it because it's a big expense.
Yeah.
I'm doing the payment plan.
Sure.
But I freaking love it. And one thing I love about it is that they have so many other classes besides cycling.
Mm.
And they have shorter length classes. So I have been doing like at night, I'll do a 10 or 15 minute yoga class on the Peloton app and then do like a 5 or 10 minute meditation on the Peloton app.
And you do it just like on your phone?
Yep. I just put my phone at the front of a yoga mat in my bedroom.
Oh, cool.
And it has noticeably made me feel better emotionally and mentally, but also just stretching has really makes my body.
Yes.
Better. So remember, and then dance for me is such a healing experience. So I need to make sure that I'm doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
But also I had to say, I'm really enjoying riding this bike and the teachers are
so
great.
Cool.
I'm now like super obsessed with a bunch of these teachers. Hello, Cody.
Oh, hello, Cody.
Cody just always goes, get your life together. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to try.
Okay, Cody.
Thank you, Cody. You Peloton riders out there know what I'm talking about. So if anyone wants to form a Forever 35 Peloton group, I've been a little too shy to think about this.
Oh.
But anyone out there is also riding, hit me up.
What's your username?
Well, I don't know what my, should I share it?
I don't know.
Because then everybody can see my like work. I'm a little shy about it.
All right. That's cool.
I don't mind sharing my username in terms of like if we're all riding together. Yeah, I like that idea.
I get it. You don't want it out there.
I'm a little like, I don't want everybody knowing that, you know, I'm doing a 10-minute arms workout with Alex.
Sure. Is it a fish reference?
It's not. It's okay. A parenting reference, but I might change it. Okay. One of the fun parts also about Peloton is seeing everybody's names, and you can get shout outs from the teachers.
Cool.
And like, I have heard some funny, like I have a friend whose Peloton name is Three Cheese Pizza, which makes me laugh. So I like the idea of putting like a, yes, like making a fish reference. So I might change my name. Anyway, maybe I'll get the courage to share my name.
Cool.
I mean, Hugh Jackman's Peloton name apparently was revealed. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
I don't know what it is. I've tried, but anyway. So anyway, I have been using that app to do all sorts of like kind of things that really help me mentally. Like I do think meditation would probably help me get more calm about my anxiety, mm-hmm. and stuff. Getting back to my gratitude practice has been helpful.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So that's kind of just where I'm at. Reading a shit ton of romance books.
Have you read anything great lately?
Oh, Dory. Dory. Oh, my goodness. I read this book called Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Uh-huh.
Actually, a listener, I posted about it, and a listener of the podcast, I posted about it in the newsletter, and a listener was like, the author's my best friend. And I was like, what? Well, tell them. Dory, it is a romance between a prince in the royal family of England and the first son of the first woman president in America.
Ooh.
There's just so many layers of amazingness. We've got, it's like an alternate universe where a woman becomes president. So number one, I'm into it. Two, a romance between these two hunks. And also just like exploring the idea of like understanding your sexuality,
yeah.
and dealing with very real things about being outed and all this kind of really interesting stuff. But the romance, it's so hot and sexy and cute, and I'm obsessed with them, and I've read it twice.
Oh my goodness.
Red, White, and Royal Blue. You've heard it here. It's like a New York Times bestseller, so I'm certainly not the first person advocating for this book, but it's so good. I really loved it.
Oh,
I loved it so much.
Yay.
Also, like, they're so hot. A prince and the first son.
I mean, how do they meet?
Oh, it's so good. They're like enemies. But then the first, I don't want to spoil too much, but let's just say like, it's also a great like enemies to lovers, which I love.
Love and enemies to lovers.
That's like one of my favorite tropes. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that has been very soothing for me. Just reading a lot of really fun romance books.
Good.
I read The Bride Test. There's so many great romances out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll recommend some for you if you want.
Yeah, please.
I mean, I know it's not maybe your thing.
I read The Bride Test.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed The Bride Test.
I thought it was adorable.
Well, listen, Dory, it's so great to have you back.
It is so great to be back, I have to say.
There's so much to catch up on. I don't even know where to begin.
I know, but do we get to do intentions now?
We do. And I think it's good. Like, who knows? I've been doing intentions with our guest hosts.
I know.
But I'm happy just to like start fresh.
Let's start fresh.
Also, can I just backtrack and say one thing I thought about the other day was like, we've been doing this podcast for like, your pregnancy has been a big part of this podcast.
Yeah.
I just was thinking of like August.
Yeah.
And you were just kind of like maybe finding out that everything was working.
I found out right before we flew to New York to do a live thing at the Wing Camp.
Yeah. And here we are, almost a year later. It's just crazy. Anyway, I was reflecting.
Yeah.
Well, tell me.
Yes. So
my
first intention back, it's a very simple one.
As it should be.
But I would like to leave the house once a day and actually go somewhere, like to a coffee shop or to the grocery store or to a yoga class. Like just...
This is you independent, not with baby.
It can be with baby.
Okay, so it's just leaving the house.
Yeah, I mean, and I say have a destination because my previous kind of goal for this was just to like, I could like walk down the block, but I'd like to, you know, raise the bar slightly and just kind of make myself leave because it's so easy to just have the hours blur into each other and I often get to a point where it'll be like 3 o'clock and I haven't left the house. And I'm like, well, but I, you know, I shouldn't leave now because then I'll have to just like bedtime, you know, bath is soon. Like, you know, yeah. I just start sort of like, I don't know.
You're like, why leave now?
Yeah. And also like, when's my husband home? When, like, when is someone around to be with the baby? Or, you know, if I need to leave with the baby, oh, he's asleep. Like, there's just, yeah, there's just a lot
feed
more to
the baby now.
Yeah. There's just a lot more to think about. So, I would like to kind of figure that out.
Okay.
How about you?
Dory, mine is also basic. Just going to focus on body positive mantras.
Good.
Dare I say it's a old reframing of the narrative.
I love a reframing.
But looking at when I'm having like intrusive thoughts or kind of these spiraling thoughts, and then just observing them, and then also picking a new thing to think about.
Yes.
Just to keep me going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Because it's been a slog. But it's okay. I feel like the slog is part of the, not everything should be easy, right? Like the,
yeah, and sometimes you just have to live in the slog.
Live in the slog.
Mm-hmm.
Dare we title this episode Live in the Slog?
We dare. I think we dare.
Person's gonna click on it and be like, what does that mean? And then you don't find out till the end,
till the last minute of the podcast.
Well, before we go, I also just want to note, I wore Crocs here to this recording and you have a scrunchie on, so we are really fashionable.
Have
you have
on.
A scrunchie.
I bought 40 scrunchies on Amazon for like $12.
I like the color. It's a mustard yellow.
Yeah. And they're all, you know, velour or velvet.
Yeah.
They're a little tight, I will say. I used to like to wear a scrunchie on my wrist, and these are like too tight.
Oh, no, they're cutting. They're like the cutoff circulation kind.
Yeah. So, you know, they're fine.
Yeah, experimenting. I like it.
Thank you.
It's a new look for you.
Thank you. Well, this has been a pleasure.
I'm so happy we're back.
So nice to be back.
In front of these microphones together. Dare I remind our listeners that we have a voicemail where you can call us at 781-591-0390 and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
You can always join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. And the password there is serums.
And if you like this show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, tell a friend, mention us on social media. We love hearing from you.
And a reminder that everything we mention is always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
If you want to buy 40 scrunchies, that link will be on our website.
It sure will.
Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio, and Lane Hammer is our assistant. And we thank you so much for listening.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.